Alrighty, folks. It's Mr. Z here with the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. How we doing today? It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Guess what, folks? I'm back. I'm back in the saddle again, folks. Welcome in today. It's a beautiful day here. Oh, trying to figure stuff out here. All right, folks, we have an interesting show today. I have an author on called Money, Sex, and Kids. Miss Tina Tessina. I hope I pronounced that right, PhD. And we're going to get into the logistics of the show. Turn this music down here, folks, and call it a day here. Welcome into the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show, where we turn a negative into a positive today. And we have an excellent guest on today. I'm going to show you the book. And my glasses are filthy today, folks. I don't know what's wrong with me. I should have had them done before I even got on air today. So we're going to start off right now. And we're going to start broadcasting here today. Welcome in, folks. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. This is the author I have on the day. Good morning, Miss Tina.
Good morning. How are you, Mr. Z?
I am blessed as usual. We're doing okay today?
We're doing great today.
All right. Tell everybody who you are, please.
I'm Tina Tessina. I'm also known as Dr. Romance. I'm a licensed psychotherapist in Southern California, and I'm the author of Money, Sex, and Kids, Stop Fighting About the Three Things That Can Ruin Your Marriage.
Oh, really? How do people get in touch with you? So we're going to start this off real good today. So how did people get in touch with you today?
The easiest way is to go to my website, which is www.tinatessina.com. And that's TinaTessina.com. From there, they can link to my blog. They can write me an email if they want to. My phone number's there. Everything's there. So TinaTessina.com.
What inspired you to write this book, if I could ask?
Well, I work with couples every day, and these are the three things that they mostly fight about. So what I put in the book is how it, are the exercises and the information that I give to couples that I'm working with.
So why do you feel these are the common denominators, what they fight about most of the time?
Well, they just are. There's a lot of statistics about it. It's just if those are the three big things that, because they're all very emotional issues. We're very emotional about our money and obviously emotional about sex and about kids. And so instead of doing the logical thing, we do the emotional thing, and then we get into trouble doing that.
What do you mean by we get into trouble by that, if I could ask?
Well, for example, if you're talking about your kids, we have a tendency to parent according to how our parents did it. Either we liked what they did or we didn't like what they did, but we're reacting to how our parents did it. Well, if you're in a marriage with a partner, their parents did it different, so you're automatically going to have differences about what to do. And then we care about the kids, so we're emotional in that way, and we get upset at the kids, so we're emotional in that way, and you can get into reaction instead of thinking. And then things go not very well.
Now, I was looking in your book, and I was thumbing through it. As we talked before I came on the show today, I said it was going to be a little bit controversial about some things, but I was just joking with you. But you talk about sex and about give and take and things of that nature.
Right.
Why is sex such an important factor in relationships? I mean, even though you have to be intimate, but I understand sometimes sex can make or break a relationship.
Many times sex can make or break a relationship. It often does. And the reason that it's so important is it's usually why we get together in the first place. You know, if there's no sex, then you're friends.
Say it again. I'm so sorry. My commercial came
on. Okay.
Say it again.
If there's no sex, then you're just friends. It isn't a marriage, a intimate relationship.
Right, so, I got it.
So sex is very important. We don't spend a lot of time in our lives having sex. It's a pretty short time compared to all the time we spend eating meals or doing housework or working or whatever, but it's still vitally important to the health of the relationship.
Well, sometimes people hold off on sex in different aspects in different ways. And do they
use
sex?
Yeah, we can punish each other by not being available for sex. We can, if the communication starts to go in the relationship, usually the sex goes right along with it, because sex is just a physical form of communication.
Now, the person with the money, do they control the sex in the relationship?
Sometimes. Hugh Hefner and his 29-year-old or whatever she is, what do you think is that relationship is about?
I think it's Viagra, if you want to know the truth about it. I think he'll control that one and the pharmacist. So,
okay. But, yeah, sure. You know, people have very emotional relationships to money. And what I do in therapy very often when somebody's having a money problem is have them take a bill out and talk to it. You know, this is what you mean to me. And this is why I like you, or this is why I don't like you. And it's very interesting what comes out when you do that.
Now, what is the dynamic of the kids playing a relationship? How do they play into the factor of the relationship when it comes? You said money, sex, and kids. How do kids fall into the factor?
Well, you know, the day the first kid arrives, everything changes. It's such a gigantic change for go from being a couple to being parents. And it changes all the dynamics, and the couple has to readjust everything, and that isn't an easy thing to do. So we're all focused, when we think about having kids, we're all focused on how wonderful it's going to be and the anxiety about, am I going to be a good parent, can I provide for this child, and all that sort of thing. But we don't stop and think about just how drastic a change that's going to be. I mean, your sleep habits change, your daily schedule changes, your focus changes from each other to this helpless little thing you have to take care of now. It's a big, big change. And there are some wonderful things about the change, but there's some really tough things about the change, too. So couples usually aren't prepared for that. The way we think about becoming parents doesn't really take into consideration the reality of becoming parents.
Now, when we talk about money, sex, and kids, what's the most, in this aspect, what's the most popular factor in this? Is it money, is it sex, is it kids, or is it a combination of all the both?
What's the thing that gives people the most trouble?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, it's probably, I would guess, kids first, sex second, and then money. But if you don't have kids, of course, that's not an issue for you. Money underlies pretty much everything. And sex can be the make-or-break-it deal of a relationship, but often we don't talk about it enough. People have trouble talking about it.
So whoever you found has the most power in relationship, the man or the woman, when it comes to the sex aspect?
The woman?
Or the person is the person with the money? Who you feel have... I'm just curious.
Only
the woman
in a Hugh Hefner relationship. No, sometimes it's the person with the money. I mean, that if only one person is bringing in the money, or one person's bringing in a lot more money than the other one, that is a power differential, and it sometimes affects what happens sexually also. But basically, women have veto power on sex.
No means no, huh?
Yeah, and that's a big power. And they...
Yeah,
you know, it's so men have the power of being expected to be the ones who initiate, but that can also be a burden after a while. If you're always the one who has to start things, you after a while start to feel like, well, you know, does this person care about me, or is it always up to me?
I'm a selfish lover, so you know what? I don't care. If you don't have to want me, as long as I'm the one who wants it, I'm all good. As long as you're a willing participant, I don't care initiating. I'm hunky-dory. But I'm just like that, though. Okay, here we go. Let's talk about this book. It's very interesting.
Okay.
Now, you go through a lot of topics in this book. What is your most popular topic in the book that you've covered that you feel the guests, people ask you more about?
Well, strangely enough, it seems to be money that I get asked about most, because I think that's the thing that not enough, a lot of therapists don't talk about that, and people are kind of lost as to how to deal with it. And marriages that get into money problems can go south really fast. When couples start to compete with money, who gets to spend the most, or, you know, I earned this, so it's my money instead of our money, that kind of thing, that can lead in a bad direction really fast. Also, different ideas of what to do with money. You know, some people in our culture think that having money is a bad thing, that people who have money are bad. Some people who think in this culture think that people who have money are automatically good, and that it's good to have money. Some people are embarrassed to show how much money they have and keep it very low-key. Some people want to flash everything they've got. So when you get people with two people with different ideas about that, since both of them feel that what they do is the right way to do it, it can get really difficult really fast.
Gotcha. Now, here we go. In your book, you go establish separate checking accounts or personal spending budget. Why is that so important?
Well, if you're very different on how you deal with your money, then sometimes a separate a checking account might be very helpful. It's not always the way to go. Some people do just fine with a shared checking account. But, for instance, if you're both working and you're both earning your own money, each one of you usually wants some control over that money. If you got together when you were older and more established in life, then you're controlling your own money. You don't want to give over all the control of your money. So often having separate checking accounts with a joint checking account that both people put into and from which you pay your household bills stops a lot of arguing.
Now, when it comes to taxes, and this is tax season right now, do you feel people with taxes and kids, they should file jointly or separately, or who should take the majority of the taxes on their tax returns?
Well, that's really a decision for your financial guy, your CPA, to advise you which way. You want to do whatever is best for you financially. Usually, filing jointly gives you more deductions. But in some situations, filing separately might do that. It depends on the laws of your state. You really need a financial guy to answer that question. Guy or gal to answer that question.
Oh, okay. Oh, I got feedback on my mic today. Let me make sure everything's all right here. Come on. Now, here we go. On another aspect, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Another aspect here. You say know your expenses. And what do you mean by know your expenses?
Well, if you don't know, you know, your relationship is like a business. It's supposed to bring money in. That's your income. It has expenses, of course. and then there's supposed to be something left over. That would be the equity in your house or your savings, your retirement fund. Those things are, you're supposed to have some left over at the end. You can't get that to work for yourself if you don't know what your expenses and what your income are. Most of us are pretty clear. I mean, if you work for a salary, you know what your income is. You see it every paycheck on that paycheck. But expenses can get away from us. You know, we can be spending and the other partner doesn't know what we're spending. We can kind of, money can just kind of disappear out of your pocket. So it's really helpful to get in charge of how much you're spending and to find out what that is. And that's what we call a budget, you know, being able to say we spend about this much on groceries, this much on clothing and things like that, this much on entertainment, this much on medical every month. Then we have an idea of what's going on and where the money's going, and it makes it much easier to plan and to save.
That definitely makes sense on that aspect. Now, here we go. Let's go into the kid factor of the money, sex, and kids.
Okay.
Do kids become less of a problem as they get older? Do they become more of a problem when they get older in the relationship?
Well, there are stages. You know, it's the infancy stage is very intense and requires a lot of attention. I mean, infants require pretty constant attention from somebody. Then there's a nice kind of relaxed period from about 6 months to 2 years. You've figured it out. You got it working. You know how that works. The child is very amenable usually, unless there's an illness or something that's a problem. It's an easy phase for most parents. Then you go into the what we call the terrible twos.
Right.
And toilet training and all those things, those are more difficult phases. So we go into that. And then when the child hits about 4 years old, and these are all generalizations, it varies from child to child, but about 4 years old, there's another lovely period where they're able to talk and they're fun to deal with and they're very, you know, for the most part, pretty easy to deal with. And you, if you have a schedule and everything's working in a kind of an organized manner, that's an easy time. And that lasts till, these days, till about 10 years old. And then children are going into the preteen phase earlier now than they used to.
Yes, I've heard that quite a bit. Yeah, I've been dealing with that.
So then we get another difficult period where the child is dealing with the effects of hormones and all that, and they're getting irritable and they want some independence, so they start arguing with you, you know, and disagreeing with you and that sort of thing. And depending on how you handle it, it can be really difficult, or it can be not too bad, depending on other influences like their peer influences and things.
Gotcha.
So,
now, Tina, tell us who you
then the teenage years are tough, and then they're off to college, and you miss them, and there's that part of life. You know, they're starting families of their own, or working, or off to college, or something, so it goes. You know, there are good times and tough times in raising kids.
All right. Tina, tell us who you are, please.
I'm Dr. Tina Tessina. I'm also known as Dr. Romance. I'm the author of Money, Sex, and Kids, Stop Fighting About the Three Things That Can Ruin Your Marriage. And I can be reached at my website, which is that's my email. My website is tinatessina.com. And from there, you can email me. If you have a question, your listeners can email me. You can see my books on the site. There's a lot of free articles on the site.
Yes, see that. You got quite a few books. You have here The Real 13 Steps,
yep,
How to Be a Couple and Still Be There.
Right.
10 smartest decisions a woman can make before 40.
Right.
The unofficial guide to dating again.
Right.
It ends with you.
Uh-huh.
The commuter marriage. I'm going to have to get a copy of all these books because we're going to talk more about this stuff in depth detail. Tell me this. All right, here we go. Let's get to the meat of this, a whole bunch of meat of this situation here. Why do you think communication is so important in the relationships? Sometimes people get into a rut where they don't speak at all, and then they're living in the same household and just making sure the bills are paid. Why do you feel communication, if you being a doctor, is so important? Why can people just can't just go through the day-to-day aspects, say, grunting each other, how you doing? I'm doing fine, honey. And lay in the bed at night, don't touch each other, anything like that, and just go about the whole day. No sex, no nothing. Just make sure the kids have 10 fingers and toes, and they can go years like that. Why do you feel communication is so important?
Well, just that picture you just drew of a lot of marriages are like that. That's a very dangerous thing for a marriage. That's when, that's very unfulfilling, that kind of marriage. And that leaves you open for being attracted outside the marriage because you're not getting any intimacy at home.
You're not getting no goodies. So basically, people out there creeping. So you think with this money, sex, and book, that if people don't really pay attention to what you're trying to say, they're going to go creep. You know what the word means by creeping?
I when know they go- what the word means, creeping, yes. And sure, you know, if you're really bored and miserable and shut off at home, there's all kinds of stuff out there that's going to be attractive that you can creep after.
Yeah, because Luther Vandross wrote a song behind it, Creep, Creep. And I'm guilty of creeping sometimes. I'm not going to even lie, because if it... But I'm pretty faithful.
If married couples would creep toward each other, they'd be a lot happier.
Yeah, you think they
would? There's nothing that makes people happier than having a good marriage. I've been married 30 years now, and it's fantastic.
You see, money, sex, and but the dynamics of sex have changed so much nowadays, and the mainstream are just. Sex just gets boring with some people, and they just like it's the same old way. Do you think they should spice sex up a little bit in a relationship?
Of course. That's one of the skills that long-term couples need to learn is that, you know, when you're dating somebody, from the moment you take your shower, you're already in foreplay. You're in two separate places. You're shaving, you know, she's putting on makeup, and you're already thinking about sex.
Getting the goodies,
so that's
huh?
That's already foreplay, and you haven't even gotten together yet.
I'm like, hey, baby, I'm about to take me a nice, cold, and warm shower here.
Okay,
ready for you tonight.
So the sex just happens kind of real easy most of the time. And if it doesn't, your relationship isn't going to go very far. But once you're together and you're living together every day,
right?
Then, you know, you have to learn how to go from stressing over the bills to having sex, or I like to say picking up the dog poop in the backyard to having sex. Those are very different kinds of ways to do it. And it's way too easy to take each other for granted, which is the marriage you were describing there. And so you need to learn some skills for keeping the intimacy in your marriage alive.
But
there is nothing better. There's nothing that feels better than that.
Who gets bored quicker, the lady or the male in a sexual relationship?
The man usually gets bored quicker.
Why do you feel that a man gets bored quicker in a relationship when it comes to sex? Seriously, why do men always want to stray? Why aren't they happy with their goodies at home? What's wrong with a woman's body, whatever, that he just gets tired of the same old poot nanny?
Well, first of all, men like to hunt. Women don't particularly. But really, it has to do with men not being so comfortable with their emotions. So when you get, there's a difference between sex and intimacy.
What's the difference? You're intimate no matter what. You talking about just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and going about your business? Or, baby, I love you, I miss you, I really want to hold you after we have sex and cuddle. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but I also mean, you know, when you live with somebody over a long period of time, you know everything about them.
Yeah, I guess
you
would.
You know them at their worst moment. You know them at their best moment. You know them what they're like when they're sick. You know what they're like when they're happy, when they're sad, all of that. And that's all. That's real intimacy, knowing somebody from the inside out like that. But we have a tendency to think about sex as a conquest thing. And that's already been done in a relationship. You need to learn to think of sex in a different way, as an expression of caring, and as connecting from those inside parts of you that you know so well. When you can do that, then sex is truly mind-blowing. It's much better than that running around chasing what looks good kind of sex, which is it's great at the moment, but
right
after it's over, there's nothing left.
Okay, here we go. I was talking to a friend the other day, and there is such thing as good sex and bad sex with your partner, because not all sex with a woman is the same, and not all sex with a man is the same. And sometimes you get tired of the same old sex, or the particular mate that you have, you get with them, and that's not the sex you even like at all. It's just like, really, this is all I get? And Eddie Murphy said something once in one of his comedic sketches before. If you don't have anything for a while, you get somebody to plain old cracker, they go think it's a rich cracker. You know, you know, after a while, you know, if someone hand you a rich, you're like, dang, I just had plain old crackers. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But, you know, that's why you need to focus on if what's going on in your sexual relationship, in your marriage, isn't working, then you need to change it. You can change it up. You've got the possibility of doing anything you want to do, provided you can work it out together.
Is divorce an option?
Well, it's a bad option. Why is it a good option?
Well, I don't know, because I have a theory. This is just my theory. It's not anybody else's, just as mine. And I have one thing. If I put my key in the door and I'm not happy when I feel I'm going to put my key in the door, I've got to change something. Why go through life if you're not comfortable sexually, mentally, or financially in a relationship? So many people just go through them, and some things you just can't change. You know what I mean?
You know what? You have to try first. You have to give it your best shot first. I always say that to the clients that I'm working with that are considering, you know, people wait way too long to come into counseling. They wait till they want to get a divorce, and then it's much harder to fix what's going on. But it almost always can be fixed. Things can be fixed. Things can be changed. You can, look, you've got this person you already know. And if they're a good person and they are caring and they're a good parent and you can work together in a lot of ways, there's no reason why you can't make your sex life great. And why would you throw all of that other stuff out? You've heard the phrase throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Why would you throw all of that other stuff out just because the sex isn't working when you can fix the sex? It's just not that hard.
You're not hearing me right. What if the sex is just bad and you've been in a relationship for so long and you realize, look, I got a kid with this person and the money situation is not right, and now I'm really facing the realization is that the sex aspect is not going to get any better. We've been in a marriage for, say, umpteen years, or say single-digit years.
Well, maybe you've been in the marriage for umpteen years, but have you ever really talked about what's going on with your sex? Have you sat down with her and said, you know, this isn't working for me. I'm not happy. Are you happy? Let's see if we can fix this. People don't want to talk about it, so you know that's a really dumb decision, throwing the whole thing out because you don't want to talk about the sex.
Well, see, I have no problem talking about sex. To me personally, I laugh doing sex sometimes because I think it's fun. I enjoy it. So to me, I have no, if it's not right, I've ended several relationships because I said the sex just wasn't there and I'm not happy and I'd rather be your friend and just, you know, just go down that path. And I have one of my best friends today who's my best friend of anything. And I just chose to in life and say, you know what, this is not working for me sexually. So I'd rather just be a friend. I don't want to lose you as a person, but sexually, I don't think we're compatible. Do you think people should address that quicker in a relationship?
Absolutely. I think you need to figure that out early in the relationship, because why get into having children and all of that? It's so hard on the children when the parents don't make it. So hard on the children. It screws up their whole lives. So I think we need to stop this idea that, you know, just chuck this one and get another one. That's a bad, bad idea. I know it looks good in the movies, but it's terrible. It's hard for everybody. It screws everybody up. Kids don't get a picture of how people work things out in a marriage if their parents don't stay together. Kids from single parents don't do well in their own marriages because they don't have that image to work with. They haven't experienced what it's like when two parents really grapple with each other and work it out and get through it. And we're just not willing to work at anything these days. If we don't have instant success, then throw it away, when I think that's really a terrible idea.
Now, here we go. I was looking at your book.
Uh-huh.
Do families on either side of the relationship play a factor in all this that you're talking about?
Would what factor in all this?
Okay. I'm going to put it this way. Each person is bringing some dynamics of their families to the relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
So how prevalent is that a problem in relationships, or is it not a problem in money, sex,
well,
and kids?
It's a big problem. Yeah. That's why we grew up on different planets, is because, you know, when you grow up in your family and you're a small child, you think what's going on in your family is the way it is. That's the way it is. That's the way life is. That's the way love is. That's the way relationships are. And then you get together with somebody who grew up in a different family who thinks that their family is the way it is, and you're going to have a clash about that. But the job of a marriage is to build a new family way, to build something new that's made up of something from both of you, and to move beyond what you learned as a kid and develop something new. It's a very creative process, building a relationship. And it's also an incredibly rewarding process. And it makes a difference in a lot of lives between people who are happy and people who are not happy.
Gotcha. Now, folks, this is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. My name is Mr. Z. Welcome in. This is BBS Radio. Anybody wants a copy of this particular book, please give us a call today at 888-815-9756 or call me on my personal cell, 702-771-8450, or email me at MrZ@CleverMinds1, that's the number one, .com. This lovely lady's going to be with me this Sunday on KLAV, 1230 a.m., and she's going to be here 6:30, 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to have her on. I'm having two guests on this Sunday. I have the author on, Louis Brojas, that was on Wednesday, and he spoke about My Street Money. And the other lady I'm having on today is Money, Sex, and Kids. And I'm putting all these together because let's look at the factor that I have right now with all this is this. Money's important, families are important, sex are important, but we tend to try to separate all of them. But let's be realistic about it. They're all intertwined together. I am Mr. Z, where I cannot bring you any BS, because I don't feel if I brought you BS, that means my credibility goes down. I'm bringing you a doctor today. And Miss Tina, tell us who you are again, please.
I'm Tina Tessina. I'm Dr. Romance. I'm the author of Money, Sex, and Kids, Stop Fighting About the Three Things That can ruin your marriage. And I can be reached at TinaTessina.com.
Well, I'm going to coax her later on, folks, to see if she'll give somebody a therapy session, not a long therapy session, or some advice on private time off the air. So if she would do that for me, I'd appreciate it. But also, I'm going to get some more copies of her books that she has here. And she has a vast – can you name some of your books, please, for us?
Sure. The Unofficial Guide to Dating Again, so that you can find the right person for you and get your relationship started on the right foot. The 10 Smartest Decisions a Woman Can Make Before 40. The Real 13th Step, which is about recovering from all kinds of addictions. It Ends With You, Grow Up and Out of Dysfunction, and How to Be a Couple and Still Be Free, and The Commuter Marriage.
Now, I'm going to ask you another question. Here we go. Let's get to, I want to not be controversial, but I'm going to be serious. Does, when a woman reaches a certain peak in her life where she's pre-mental, what's the word I'm looking for, when they stop having their menstrual cycle, things like that.
Perimenopausal, you're talking
about. Yeah, yeah. Does it change the dynamics of relationships when it comes to money, sex, and kids?
Sure. The dynamics of relationships change all the time. They change when somebody changes a job and gets a different schedule. They change when they change at retirement. They change at menopause. Sure, things change all the time, but that doesn't mean it's going to change for the bad. You have to work with life changes. Your relationship changes when you have kids. It changes as the kids go through various stages. Part of having a healthy, good relationship is learning to negotiate all these changes and talk about them. You know, I don't feel the same as I did about this. Things have changed, and I want to change how we deal with it.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question I don't know anything about, and I'm funny, I'm asking this. I had an old girlfriend, and we started connecting, kind of talking in the past, and I'm just, help me out on this one. When a woman comes premenopausal, whatever, does the sex drive get higher or does it get less in a relationship?
It varies. I mean, it depends on the woman. And before menopause, usually there's a surge of hormones, so there's more of a sex drive. Then, you know, if she's having a hard time, if there's a lot of hot flashes and whatnot, that might tone down her sex drive for a while, and then when she gets past that, it'll go back up.
Now, as me as a man, am I supposed to be sympathetic towards this, understanding this, and how does a couple get to talk about this? Because sometimes couples don't talk about the premenopausal aspect of what a woman's going through. So how do we as a couple get through this?
Well, I think couples are supposed to talk about this, yes. And I think, yes, you're supposed to be understanding, and she's supposed to be understanding. That's what it's about. It's about caring about each other. So, you know, if you need to track her changes with her, and she needs to track your changes with you, it isn't like men don't go through changes.
What
men
changes do we go through?
Lots of changes.
The popping the Viagra has saved our lives.
Yeah, right.
I'm just teasing. Yeah, you say, yeah, right. Do men go through the same changes, you think, in some aspect?
Well, not the same changes. If men go through their own changes, they go through hormonal changes, and they go through changes in life. You know, some men are just terrified of growing older, and they don't deal well with their changes in life. They try to be perpetual boys, and that isn't being their best self. That isn't your best self. Your best self is to be the most of who you are right now, at whatever age you are right now. Not to try to be, this goes for women too, not to try to be 20 for your entire life. You're missing out if you do that.
Well, for some reason, I don't know. Tell me if something's wrong with me then. I'm going to be very honest with my audience today. The more stressed I get, the hornier I get. Why is that?
Because you don't have a lot of different outlets for stress. The one you picked is sex. So when you have, some people pick eating and they get fat because they eat a lot when they get stressed. Some people have a lot of sex when they get stressed, which can lead to trouble. You know, there can be problems with that. It's not bad in itself. And it is a good way to release stress. But if it's your only outlet, if you don't have running and laughing and
I go to the gym.
Having a good time as ways to release stress too, and that gets to be your only way, then you can wind up in an addictive situation. So you need a variety of outlets for whatever's going on with you. And you need to talk to your partner about what's going on. If you're really stressed, your partner can help you with that.
Yes, they do. They do.
Yeah, I'm just they do.
Now, here we go. Can money be an aphrodisiac in the relationship?
Well, yeah, I suppose so. I mean, but it's a phony aphrodisiac. I mean, who needs an aphrodisiac anyway? What's that about?
Well, I'm gonna be very controversial for a minute, and I'm just gonna call it like it is. There's certain cultures out there, I call them gold diggers, whereas that money is such aphrodisiac. As you watch on TV nowadays, and you say money, sex, and kids, and you see the housewives of Atlanta, and then the basketball wives, and things of this nature and that nature. I see that the aphrodisiac for women is cash. I see, and it's what the man is bringing to the table. It's like the peacock effect. You know, this man has all this glitter on him, and then the woman is just all in awe because this man is driving
a car. Yeah, but how did that get started? You know, who is it that bragged about their money first?
Well, you know what, though? Most of the time, some people just don't brag. They may drive a nice car, and they're not saying anything about what they do. I mean,
look, men are obsessed with money. And some women, sure, some women want to be taken care of. I understand that. But that's not what partnership is. Partnership is not one person taking care of the other one and all going in one direction. Partnership is about both taking care of the other. And if you want a woman to raise your children, then you need to work it out. You know, I know lots of people where the husband is the one who stays home with the kids and the wife is
right.
The one who has the big career. It doesn't have to be one way or the other.
That's what I want to talk to you about on that aspect. I'm glad you said that. The dynamics of relationships have changed. Women have come to the forefront where they're making more money than they normally have in the past, and men are back in the back because women are being hired more. Do you feel that it's a ball cruncher for men now, that they're not making as much as they used to in the past? Now the woman's bringing home the bread and the bacon and the milk and the and everything.
I think certainly a lot of men think about it that way, but I don't think it has to be that way.
You think
you know,
they're being...
You need to take charge of your own thinking about it. If you feel bad about yourself because you're not earning more money than she is, that's your choice. You don't have to feel bad about that. You can do other things. Women have done that for generations, found other things to feel good about because they couldn't earn as much money.
That's understandable. Now, here we go. I have another question for you.
Okay.
And it's just for me on this one, and I got a couple minutes before I go out. Say someone's in their later years in life. How do they maintain a relationship or get a relationship financially and get things stable? Because people now on fixed incomes and times are difficult for a lot of people. And a lot of kids are going back home to their families now and staying in the house, and the dynamics have totally changed. How does a couple or older people in life or people in their senior years deal with money, sex, and kids?
Well, hopefully they deal with it together, you know, and they work with what they've got and make the best of what they've got. The senior years can be the best time. You know, there's not as much pressure because hopefully you've set up retirement for yourself and you've got you don't have to go and work anymore. You don't have to work as much as you did anymore. And you can enjoy yourself. Maybe that restricts your money some, but then again, your expenses are also down too, and you can find ways you know, there are lots of really happy older couples who are, who have SUVs and are traveling around the country doing that. And there are older couples who are traveling and cruising. There are older couples who are just at home focused on their families and their grandchildren. And, you know, there's a lot of wonderful ways to enjoy your life as you get older.
Now, and I have about five.
Still have,
yes, ma'am.
Sex, too. Sex doesn't go away unless you make it go away.
Gotcha. I have about 5 minutes before I get out of here today. Ooh, my mic is tripping out over there. It's too sensitive. Tell us who you are again, please.
I'm Dr. Tina Tessina, also known as Dr. Romance. I'm the author of Money, Sex, and Kids, Stop Fighting About the Three Things That Can Ruin Your Marriage. And I can be reached at tinatessina.com. You can find my blog there. You can email me there, and I'll answer your questions. You can find a lot of articles and all about my books there, too.
Okay. This is the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. I am Mr. Z. We're turning negative into a positive. One reason why I brought this lady on today is because there's a lot of negativity with the money, sex, and kids. People think it's just such a negative aspect. This lady's taking it, helping us out, bringing it to the forefront, making it a positive. She's going to be back on with me again on Sunday on KLAV 1230 a.m. The radio station at 6:30 Pacific Standard Time. Tina, is there anything you want to cover that I haven't quite covered yet? Because I have about 4 minutes before I get out of here. Anything you want to cover?
Yeah, what I want to say is don't believe the media hype about relationships. Relationships make you happy. They don't make you miserable. Men especially are healthier and happier, and they get more sex when they're in committed relationships. So don't believe all that stuff about being single is great, and you know, most of the single people I know aren't as happy as the married people I know. Now you do have to make the marriage work. You can't just go there and sit like a lump and expect it to work. You have to make it work. But when it works, it's the greatest thing going in life.
Now, I have another question for you that maybe you can answer for me as well too. Here we go. It's very, 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 very important for me to ask you this question as well. When it comes to money, sex, and kids, is there a cultural difference that's involved in all this stuff, or is it just one generic blanket that covers everything?
No, of course there are many cultural differences. I live in the most multicultural city in the United States, according to the Census Bureau. I get all kinds of mixed relationships and you name it, it comes into my office. And, yeah, there's a lot of cultural differences. Each of us comes from our own culture, our own family culture. So two people within the same ethnic group can come from different family cultures. Their families can handle it very differently.
And, so the money, sex, and
kids. Sure, that's part of who we are. So it's part of our relationship.
Okay. Tina, tell us who you are. I'm about to get out of here. My mic is acting up again.
Okay.
Boy, I've got to really gauge this new mic. It's cost me enough, but I got to get used to it. Tell us who you are and how to get in touch with you, please.
Okay, Dr. Tina Tessina. I'm also known as Dr. Romance. I'm the author of Money, Sex, and Kids, Stop Fighting About the Three Things That Can Ruin Your Marriage. And my website is tinatessina.com. That's TINATESSINA.com.
So anybody give her a call or give me an email shout out or Facebook me if you want to get in touch with this lovely lady. And like I said, she's going to be back on again. This is Mr. Z. I am the man who can bring you a smile. I do not prescribe any medicine or anything like that, but I do prescribe people with the credentials to help you out. It's been a great show today having this lovely lady on today. Tina, I will speak with you again on Sunday morning. And I'm going to ask you if you could. I know you sent me a couple of those books already, but I'm going to pick a couple of these other books to cover, and I'm going to see what my audience emails me and tells me about what they want to hear about, like Money, Sex, and Kids, the one we're covering today. But you have The Commuter Marriage, It Ends With You, The Unofficial Guide to Dating Again, you know, the 10 Smartest Decisions a Woman Can Make Before 40, How to Be a Couple and Still Be Free. I like that one. The 10 Smartest Decisions a Woman Can Make After 40, and The Real 13 Steps. We're going to cover a lot of that. Hopefully, she can get into it more with me on Sunday. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. And, Miss Tina, give me a positive note going out today, please.
Yes, you can be loved, and you can learn how to love, and it just takes knowing how to do it. That's all.
All righty, folks. Thank you. This has been the Clever Minds Radio Talk Show. Miss Tina, I will talk with you soon. It's been a pleasure today. Hey, this
I've
is a beautiful...
I've had a really good time.
I'm thinking. I will talk to you soon, folks. It's a beautiful day in Vegas today. The sun came out. It's not so windy. My allergies act a little bit better. But guess what? I'm back in the saddle again, folks. It's been a great, great day, folks. Do me a favor. Pick that song. Smile. Money, Sex, and Kids. Turn that negative into a positive. Miss Tina told you you can do it. And I'm telling you can do it. It's all about happiness, folks. You guys have a blessed day, and I will see you when I see you. I'm out. Bye-bye. Peace.
Give me a take. That's when she caught my eye. She talked to me.